Good morning. Hi, this is Kiko. About to make a podcast. I found this yesterday. It's written by my brother, Jesse Martinez. And it was, it did me a lot of good because at this point, you know, I need to read things that make me feel good. Anyway, he called it My Brother Kiko and His Brother and Sister. This is the Cifuentes Brothers and Sisters. A story by his brother, Jesse. I can't remember when I became aware of my brother Kiko. I remember he was in the Korean War, and that puts me at the age of 6 or 7. I was having my first crisis at 7. I had begun elementary school, and it was the first time that I had left the comforts of home. I was just getting used to being around my brothers and sisters, and all of a sudden, there I was with these small strangers. Most of them were crying. I wish I could remember that first step that I took to get an education. I am sure that I took it as a challenge. I'm sure that my mother walked with me to the first day because we didn't have a car, and there was no such thing as school buses. I was assigned to Miss Mendez's first grade class, September 1st, 1950. It would take me 20 years to complete my education. I attended Zavala Elementary School, and my fondest memory was how warm and comfortable my room was during the inclement cold days in Central Austin during the winter time. It was a welcome, considering how cold our house was, had always been. During those years, a good hot lunch was also very welcome. I never forget how exciting it was to drink milk with a straw. One of my first friends was David Reese. I don't know why, but he took a liking to me in my first day in school. Maybe it was because he and I were one of the few kids in the whole class that didn't cry the first day at school. We were inseparable friends for the next 3 years. We would meet at the corner of our block on 7th Street and then walk together. One morning, I waited for him for about 30 minutes, and he never showed up. So I walked to school and sat down in my class and was told by my classmates that David had broken into school that night. I believe he took a lot of art supplies. He had been arrested and had been taken to the Austin Juvenile Home. He was on his way to become a habitual criminal. I never saw David again. One day, many years later, David changed the entire penal system of the state of Texas. It seemed that David didn't like the room accommodations in the prisons in Texas. The state had booked a room for him for the rest of his life, and he wasn't happy accommodating to that. So he took the case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and won. It changed the prisons in Texas so that they would start treating the prisoners with a little compassion, I suppose that's what he meant. I often think about David and wonder what he could have done, what he could have become if he had not chosen a life of crime. David Reese took on the Texas and United States, and he kicked butt. He is currently in Huntsville State Prison serving the rest of his life as a common criminal. I often wonder if he remembers his first great buddy. Nevertheless, it was during this period that I had my first memories of Kiko. My teachers would often talk about my older brothers. Kiko had been there before me, and he seemed to have made an impression. His teachers loved him, and I'm sure I must have come home one day and asked, "Mom, why wasn't Kiko at home with us?" I remember seeing pictures of him. This is the part that I like. He was the most handsome guy I had ever seen. He always had this great smile on his face. But that's all that I can remember. One of the reasons I have a mental block about the existence of my brother Kiko was that I was raised by my sisters, Carmen, Janie, Mary, and my mother. These four women controlled my life. My whole existence depended on my relationship with these persons. And when I talk to my sister about that time of my life, they all smile and tell me that I was their favorite. Carmen tells me so much with so much pride that they would push me around in a red wagon to show me off. All the Mexican ladies thought that they were babysitting for a white family. I never have asked them if they admitted that I was just another Mexican boy. Mary tells me that she would periodically beat me to get that smirk off my face. I remember those beatings. Janie tells me that she would always try to defend me, but I don't remember her ever stopping those beatings. I could never understand women, even at an early age. If Kiko had been around, I might have not gotten those beatings as frequently. Maybe those meetings will stay with me forever. I have no memory of Ben and Kiko. That is very little. Much less any memory about my smirk, whatever that was. And trying to knock it off, I expected the control of these wonderful women, and I accepted it. Spent the rest of my childhood days trying to charm them to death. As a matter of fact, I still haven't stopped. In the early 50s, the American family values were really at a very high peak. And the men would go to work, and the women stayed home. Mexican men still ruled and controlled the family. They couldn't control what America offered them, so they took their laborious jobs and came home late. My dad would leave early and walk to work and come back at night sometimes. Many times he would come home drunk and happy. And Mom made him supper, and we would sit. And after supper, we would sit outside on the porch and listen to his stories. My beautiful mother just endured it all, all the grief that Mexican women suffered in those days. They knew their men's limitations and suffered with them. Somehow it all worked, and couples stayed married and raised large families. That one day might change all that. Our generation helped change it and overcome many of the griefs of the past generations, but it also changed the staying power of relationships that our parents maximized. The family is not as strong as our past generation. We are paying for all those changes, so are our children. I often wonder if the changes and rewards will sustain our future. Brother Ben was the first in our family to initiate change. He stayed in high school, and eventually he graduated from the University of Texas with a pharmacist degree. My memories of him are also limited, but I do remember trying to play with his pharmacy weights and measurement tools. There wasn't much that we could do with them other than throw them at each other. So we just kind of left him alone. He was in the Army, and he would often drive a Jeep home. Robert tried to start the Jeep one night when we found the keys, but it still remained a mystery. We just sat in the Jeep and imagined that we were under attack. Ben was a very serious person, very difficult for us to get close to him. I guess the stress of going to the university and being the first person in our family to graduate took a lot out of him. He would later run one of the largest hospitals in San Antonio. And in the late 70s and early 60s, I mean 80s, he became the deputy director in the State Department of Health Services, working under Mario Bredo. He administered $13 billion. This is my input, by the way. Jesse, I hope you don't mind. Anyway, I guess if one is serious as Ben is, you can do all those wonderful things. We were always very proud of him, but we never were around long enough to inform him for some reason, or our family doesn't congratulate each other for each other's achievement. Nash has promised Carmen a monument that would make any Texas hero proud. Maybe one of these days we'll all get together and tell Ben what he needs to hear from us. Ben was the first on the scene and the first to leave the family. The next one was Brother Kiko. But Kiko didn't live with us, and I was too small to remember him hanging around the house. I do remember my mother was always wondering where he was and what he did when he was here living with us. When I was 7 years old, he was living aboard a ship in the United States Navy, a warship, landing Marines in a place called Korea. I remember Korea because it was during this time that the family bought the first television. There are stories that Kiko bought that television with his allotment. If that's the case, then I had the first visual scene of war at the time when my very brother was fighting for the cause. We would receive his great letters with stories about all of his heroic deeds. he would send love stories to the girls, and just would cry after reading them. I don't remember the family being too worried about Kiko, but instead about some guy named Rafael. It seemed that my sister Carmen had fallen in love with this dashing guy who looked like Errol Flynn. He would often send pictures of himself in a foxhole with his ascot around his neck. He didn't look very heroic to me. My brother Kiko was there where the bullets were flying all the time. Old Rafael would write a letter after letter describing his love for Carmen. And as long as the letters came on a regular basis, my life was pretty easy. When the letters stopped, we stayed away. Old Rafael found that something else to do, and we have never heard from him since. My sister Carmen then later married her present husband, Charles, who has an IQ of 1 million. But at the time I met him, he was delivering ice cream. He was the first gringo that I got close to, and I have had a great relationship with him. The family really appreciated Charles falling in love with Carmen. We just might build a monument for Charles Shepard. He's one hell of a decent guy. One night, Kiko came home from Korea. He just showed up, and we were all very happy. I remember him hugging me, and I still remember the smell of his navy peacoat. It was a smell of navy wool. 20 years later, I joined the Navy because I wanted to smell like my brother Kiko. Robert tried to join the Army so that he could drive a Jeep, but he had some problems and came back home, and the same day he left. I remember the morning he left because my mother was very sad and cried all day long. I was sad too that he was going, but at the time I was happy. Robert and I had discovered our first loves at about the same time, and telephone time was very essential. Robert was one of the original all-time great lovers. He would spend hours telling his beloved Marianne how much he loved her. He was back later that night on the phone again telling Marianne how much he missed her and how much he loved her. He wasn't even born today, but I can remember him crying his heart out to her. He later put on a policeman uniform and became the most decorated police officer in the state of Texas. He was the first member of our family to go to the White House and be given an acknowledgement by the President of the United States. He was given this very official certificate with the President's seal and signature. My brother Nash promptly made a copy and put my name on it. It's hanging on my bar at home. It was, however, a true accomplishment for one of the original all-time lovers. Marianne and Robert had this great son who had become a policeman just like his dad, Robbie. He later died in an accident in his car while on duty. He had gone to college and had gotten a degree in cosmology, criminology. I remember the day that he graduated. It was yesterday. We were in his apartment having a good time, drinking beer and laughing. I noticed that Robbie had this huge mug that could hold 3 beers at a time, and that mug fit him perfect. Robbie was a big, happy guy with easy smile, just like Kiko. They could have made a Miller Lite commercial using him drinking light beer out of that mug. I informed him that I was going to buy that mug, a mug just like that, because I should be drinking beer like him. A few months later, he smiled. And he later he sent it to me.